This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome the guru of the executive of Truth Social, Devin Nunes, because Devin Nunes is running a social media platform that follows, this is going to sound surprising, the freedom of speech in the First Amendment. He follows it very carefully. No vulgarity, nothing trashy, just welcoming all opinions. That used to be an assumption of all social media, no longer. And I learn in these last days and weeks, thanks to some enterprising journalists led by Matt Taibbi and others, that Twitter, the great social media platform of the early part of this century, no longer practices the First Amendment or freedom of speech. And there's no reason to believe other platforms similar, you know them all, the Meta, so-called Facebook, the Instagram, the Google, all of that, no longer follow what we understand to be freedom of speech. That is the right to get up and say what you want without fear of violence or censure. Devin, a very good evening to you. Truth Social. I'm certain, because I follow it, that your participants understand that they now enjoy the freedom of speech. The problem is that you don't know when it's gone until you're told later on, because you were unaware in Meta, in Instagram, in LinkedIn, in Twitter itself, that you were being silenced. You yourself were being silenced, or your opinions were being abridged, or opinions that were divergent from Washington's were not being permitted, and you assumed that nobody thought like that. They were just a bunch of nuts. Can people tell on your platform that all opinions are welcome? Do you tell them that? Are they aware of it?
Well, John, great to be with you. I think the easy thing we do is we just don't use an algorithm in the timeline. So in the main feed, it's just the feed. It's whenever you post. And that's actually what Twitter and Facebook used to be when they first started, you know, back in around 2010, as you said, in the early part of the century. And then slowly over time, and starting in six, especially after the 16 election, I think that's when it really started, when the left in this country began to put pressure on the social media companies to censor. And look, they're all of the same ilk. So the left has done a very good job in this country of not just capturing big government and the universities. And of course, we all know about, you know, kind of the creation of fake news and how they took that all over. But they really wanted to have that delivery system. And that delivery system, mainly in this country, comes down to those three major platforms: Twitter, as you pointed out, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. So, but what's interesting about this week took an interesting twist. When I talked to you last week, I said, "Well, wonder this could be a slow week," but in fact, it ended up being a very big week. So, in fact, last week we set records in terms of our activity on the platform. And then this week we broke that record, you know, largely driven by major news events, one being the multiple Biden document dump, which I know we're going to, or document find, which I know we're going to talk about in the next segment. But also towards the end of the week, Matt Taibbi getting the Twitter files now that Elon Musk is beginning to release more of them. And this one's actually interesting, John, because this was actually not so much suppression. It was actually the attempt to force Twitter at the time, back in 17, to follow a narrative that was not true, that did not exist. So it was almost like the creation of speech that didn't exist. So, you know, kind of short story, Feinstein, who was Senate Intelligence, Adam Schiff, House Intelligence, and another guy, Blumenthal from Connecticut, we don't know how he got involved in this, but they injected themselves at the time that we were exposing the Russia hoax. And you may remember we wrote a memo that we had to, for the first time in our nation's history, we had to use the powers of the Congress to release that information and make it public. We had to release classified information and make it public. Now, of course, I argued at the time, and still would today, none of that stuff was classified because it just showed the corruption. And it was the link between the DOJ and FBI, along with the Democratic Party, the Clinton campaign, and going to a FISA court and lying. And so that was what was in the memo. As we were leading up to the memo, to the time of that release, we went through that process. And you may remember, John, there was a hashtag release the memo that started trending on social media.
Immediately. That's what I learned, Devin. That was ready to go. They were waiting. It within moments of you saying, here's the memo.
Yeah. Well, no, it actually started before. So weeks before, I can't remember if it was 2 weeks or 3 weeks, it became public that I was going to do this. And I don't know who started it, but the just started hashtag release the memo started trending on all the social media sites. So even before I released it, John, this was for several days, it was trending on social media. And Schiff and Feinstein and company went out and ran their mouth and said, oh, this is Russian bots. These are Russians. This is Putin. He's promoting this. You know, basically, Devin Nunes and the Republicans are once again doing the bidding of Vladimir Putin in Russia to release what? That in their warped world, Putin was trying to get us to confirm with their made-up story that Putin interfered in the 2016 election, which it was all made up. And so this was very different. And Twitter comes back to them, and I had met with Twitter at the time, and says, hey, we don't have any evidence of this. And then all three of them went back at them again. And so what Taibbi was able to see was the inner workings, the back and forth. And in fact, probably one of the funny ones was that one of the Twitter staff went to Senator Blumenthal's staff and said, hey, you may want your boss to stay away from this because he's going to look really silly if this ever comes out. And of course, Blumenthal is well known as a hoaxer himself, earning the nickname Da Nang Dick because he lied about his service in Vietnam. And so the fact that this guy and his staff would think, we don't care. We got away with lying about Vietnam. Let's just go out there and call Devin Nunes and the Republicans Putin stooges and that they're relying on Russian bots. That's what happened. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And he almost got away with it, but here it is. It's out. And, and once again, though, John, this is just falling on half the country or more is completely blind. This was Twitter file release, I think, number 14. And I'm not aware of any of those 14 where the fake news, the mainstream media, the corporate media, whatever you and your audience refer to it as, they haven't covered it at all, and including this. And you can imagine if the shoe was on the other foot. Well, first of all, had I been doing that, or Republicans been pressuring Twitter or Facebook at the time on any issue, and if we were lying, they would have immediately released that. So, at the time we tried to get Twitter and Facebook to make very public statements about this. They were reluctant to, but on their internal communications, which is what Matt Taibbi was able to expose, which I know he has you can read Matt Taibbi on his Substack now. He's an independent reporter. And I think one of the best parts about all this is that Taibbi, who is clearly not a Republican. I think he considers himself, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I think he considers himself to be a very left-wing person, but didn't buy into the Russia hoax back in 17-18 timeframe. And he basically got ostracized from the fake news media complex. But I think he's benefited from it. Now he's an independent reporter. He's using technology. He's writing on Substack. He has subscribers. And, look, for somebody like me, just thank God there's a few of these people that are out there that are still willing to be real journalists. And, in fact, this week, John, I put it up on True Social, but Taibbi was attacked on Twitter by another Democratic congressman named Ted Lieu. I think they essentially called him referred to him as a some type of Russian agent. I mean, it's like the story never dies.
That's what they accused you of. Devin, remember when we were both flabbergasted, you were a Russian agent. And the story grew and grew. That was the explanation for why you were releasing the memo, why you continued to hold hearings and investigate the FBI because you were working for the Russians. It wasn't just Donald Trump. It was everybody who supported Donald Trump. And Matt Taibbi has a podcast, which I recommend to everybody because he talks about this incident. And he said that he became aware of the fact that something was going wrong, and he kept talking to people about it and was told not to touch it, leave it alone. Now he says the reason the major newspapers and magazines and television shows don't cover the Twitter files, the reason he's been told this is because they don't trust the reporters who are reporting it. In other words, Taibbi's reputation having been smeared because he didn't believe Russiagate is now the explanation why New York Times will not cover the documents that he's showing out of Twitter to show how corrupted the Russiagate investigation was.
Yeah, and John, you just have to remember one thing. It's not that they don't believe it. You have to remember they were in on it. Yeah. I mean, that was one thing we forgot to point out. Yeah. You know, remember, a lot of these people were either working, possibly being paid by Fusion, GPS at the time, and if just to make people to refresh their memory, you had the whole Russia hoax, the Steele dossier. You know, we ultimately figured out that it was the Clinton campaign laundering money through a law firm that paid Fusion GPS, that ultimately paid Christopher Steele, the former British spy, to put together this dossier. You know, and it was so ridiculous from the start, John, if you think back to that time period when I first saw that in early 2018. You know, it was supposedly to look like an intelligence report. Well, I mean, I looked at it for 3 seconds and knew it wasn't an intelligence report. And in fact, that's why there was never any, the Russia hoax, we knew it was a hoax because there were no intelligence reports, because nobody in their right mind would give that Steele dossier to any legitimate intelligence officer at any level in our government, because it would take them 3 seconds, just like it took me to see that, this is really absurd. It was nude pictures of Trump and P tapes from Moscow and, you know, all things that could be easily verified in no time. And remember, this was no joke. They went to the FISA court to use the full powers of the Department of Justice, National Security Division, to spy on Trump campaign officials. And then they continued it while Trump was president. This is not some laughing matter. And what's sad here now is that here the truth has come out. But I still say this, John, half of America still believes that Trump and Republicans, had something to do with Russia, and that Putin was the one who won the campaign back in 2016 for Donald Trump.
Devin Nunes is the CEO, the guru of Truth Social, a social media platform that will be fun reading the next few days for the story we're going to turn to now, which is what we know about top secret documents found somewhere associated with the now president of the United States, then vice president of the United States, then former vice president of the United States, Joseph Biden. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.